You're listening to Cold with Rick on hoaxsyndicate.com. And he's roaming around his kitchen looking for peanut butter, but he doesn't seem to be able to find it. The secret of life, peanut butter, guaranteed. Yeah, so appreciate Villaset's wonderful production and opportunity to be on his Hoax Syndicate Network. And last night I did the kind of a, I wouldn't call it a B-toll. Yeah, it was a B-toll, but it was more just chab. Very pear-shaped at the very end, me being very argumentative. I'm putting myself up with Mark Passio and Jan Ervin these days as a person that you do not expect to have a relaxed phone call with if you believe in certain things, because I tend to attack people for their views. Can't help it. It's just always been my way. Arguing is a forte of mine, guaranteed. And I've got a qualification in it and a conspiracy theorist. So an arguing conspiracy theorist. That's me. Now, I just was thinking about something I brought up on some obscure show that I talked on God knows when, on Queen. And what are the odds? That should be the new... what are the odds section of the show. Queen, the band, basically pushing the royal motif, came out and I can remember the very first time I ever seen them. I was sitting at home in New Zealand watching TV and all of a sudden Bohemian Rhapsody came on as a filler in between a TV show and obviously the station, the network had a break for 5 minutes and the Bohemian Rhapsody was well over a normal amount for a single. And I do believe they were told, allegedly, that you won't be able to release that as a single because we want two or three minutes. But no, that somehow they got a song that's about probably 6.6 minutes. Was it 6.33 minutes? Whatever it is, it was enough for the DJ to be able to get off his desk, go to the toilet, run across the road, have a pint of Guinness or two, and then walk slowly and then go back to the toilet and then sit back down at his desk. It was a completely one of the longest, biggest hits ever. And there's a whole lot of mysteriousness in the lyrics of that song, guaranteed. Be told, guaranteed. But the interesting thing is one day I was just, things going through my head. And I thought, look at the names of the members of Queen. A bit suspicious. Freddie Mercury, Freddie Bolsara was his name, Bolsara, but he changed his name to Freddie Mercury. Now, that's a very esoteric planet, be told. And we had Brian May. Now, that doesn't sound that suspicious unless you're a conspiracy theorist, which I am. 2733, 2733, that's my badge number. Brian May, is very powerful, it's not Beltane, but it's, the 1st of May is a very powerful esoteric date, be told. And then you had the drummer, Roger Taylor. Now, Taylor and Tyler, it's the entomology, of Taylor is Tyler. Tyler is Masonic, guaranteed. Tyler is I think it's a medal. But the fait accompli, if that's the way to say it, was the bass player, John Deacon. And I thought, I wonder if his name's R, because, everyone else seems a bit Masonic or esoteric. And blame me down, it's J.R. Deacon. Now, if you look up Masonic medals and blue Freemason Guild, J.R. Deacon, or Junior Deacon, is one of their powerful medals. Now, what are the odds? What are the odds of the whole band having fairly Masonic-sounding names? I'm suggesting a conspiracy theory here that these guys had stage names. Yes, and I've said it before, but I can't remember where I said it, so I just thought I'd bring it up now that's being expertly produced by Villaset and going out on the Hoax Syndicate. Again, this isn't fake-ology, so that's why I'm... Sorry, I'm just doing something with some wine here. This isn't what I... I'm trying to keep the show more the stuff that I wouldn't be able to... that I feel guilty about talking on the Fakeologist Network, even though, you know, there are many years of talking about God knows what. You're listening to Rick talking himself. And, oh, sorry, I forgot about the peeps are just normal. You can't hear them, but I can hear them. I can hear them, and I'm just pouring filtered water from Tasmania into a glass. Filtered water from Tasmania. Yeah, so interesting that Queen should have so many names of members that, to me, these are lifetime actors. Joe Atwell, big-time promoter of that theory. Lifetime actors. Brian May happens to be an astrophysicist as well. Astrophysicist. Seems to be a nice bloke. Freddie Mercury seemed to be an out there character. And what a talent. There's no fake. So, like, people talk about these people replacing, you know, Jimi Hendrix's Morgan Freeman, that whatsoever. I mean, a talent like Hendrix to retire out of the scene and to become this extremely dull actor, you know, that pops up playing God all the time. Maybe not dull, but he's not what I call the kind of, you know, he's very popular, seems like a nice guy. But do you think that's Jimi Hendrix? No, not in my mind. Not in my mind. So I think the fact that Queen all have these very esoteric names, and they probably a lot of their stuff that they did was just publicising the royal family as a positive. Queen is a positive. Queen's the hip sounds of Queen, you know, heavy rock Queen or gay friendly Queen. It sounds to be, to me, I would say, in my conspiratorial mind, that the band was a PR organisation for the royal family. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it. It's my theory. Now, I've been doing some work today for a lady whose husband passed away 5 months ago. They've been together for 50 years. And the real strength of life is coping with death. And she's still, you know, she's wanting to talk all the time. I felt sorry for her. She's obviously very lonely. She's got children, though, that don't live in the area. But she, it was really interesting listening to her. She made sure she had to go and look at her father and see her husband. And, you know, she's 80, so, you know, or thereabouts. He was a bit older. Was it to vaccine related? I don't know. I don't think so. I think he'd been sick for quite a long time. But life is about coping with death and learning how to cope with death. This is my advice here. That's why children need to have pets, because pets die and they learn to cope with grief. It's a good thing. A good thing. Now, why I brought this up, I've been talking to my sister who'd been looking after a very sick guy who passed away last week. A good friend of a brother. His brother was very one of my oldest friends in the area which I came to. And he's also a Kiwi. We met each other in about 87 at the gym. And me and him used to swap jobs together. You know, we worked in the building sites, and he wanted to leave a guy, ring up and say, do you want to go and work for this guy? And we'd swap, you know, labouring jobs back in the old days, the good old days. Anyway, he passed away on Friday. But what interests me is that these anecdotes about when someone dies, about what happens to them just before they die. And apparently he'd been very uncomfortable thanks to various issues with the public health system, and it's not a story, you know. I mean, I don't want to bring that one up, but the public health system is collapsing. Unless you've got a lot of money and you've got private health insurance, watch out. Watch out. It's going America way, you know, a train wreck. What a coincidence, another train wreck in Ohio. Train wreck is a new motif they want you to believe. This is a psychic linguistic program of America, train wreck. That's what you keep thinking about when you hear about America, train wreck. Anyway, a fascinating thing is, just before he passed away, he suddenly got animated and sat up and he stared at the window and said, you know, like, open the window, you know, pull the curtains. He was, something he could see was coming through the window. And she did it for him. And he was just, she's done this before for people, obviously. She understood that he was seeing something that other people see, the same thing. Something amazing and beautiful was entering into the room. And in her description is he just looked at it and he just leapt out of his body and died that minute. So he kind of went forward and back, went backwards again and passed away that minute, 5 o'clock in the morning. Very sad, you know, a nice guy. Just a, you know, hardworking Kiwi that's been over here working for many years. Now, if you speak to nurses particularly, or people that have been around the dead or death, you know, the people that work with people that are passing away, you will hear a very common thing that often they bring up, you know, someone's come into the room, they can see a relative, they get up and they just die. So that 100%, no arguments entered into. New atheists out there, you go and ring up your Richard Dawkins podcast and listen to it as to your heart's content, because that's, that guy isn't going anywhere. He isn't going anywhere. Same with years ago, I had, I was reading into Kerry Packer, one of our magnates who ran Channel 9, number nine. Kerry Packer died on the polo field, had a heart attack. And one of the good things he did, made sure, one of the things, because he had lots of money, but he made sure there were defibrillators in every second, or maybe every ambulance, or probably every second ambulance, because it saved his life that day. He was dead for 2 minutes on the polo field. And he said, I can tell you now, there's nothing out there. Nothing happened. And I felt like ringing the newspaper up and say, well, the reason being, because he ain't going nowhere, because he doesn't deserve any second chance or afterlife. No magic tunnel entered into his vision. He just said there was nothing. That was his, you know, his after he passed away for 2 minutes and got brought back by a defibrillator. And I believe that, you know, that if you're just a, there is something, oh my God, this is the third mysterious white star passing over my head. What is it? Is it a weather balloon with a light on it? I have no idea, but there's definitely something happening. And I'll just give you the time stamp here. It's 8:38, and it's going in the northerly direction over the top of my head. What are they? I used to call them satellites. Obviously, they're not. There's something going on up in the sky. So that's why I'm not on Fakeologist Radio mentioning this, be told. Definitely an afterlife, as far as I'm concerned. And my grandmother, according to my father, sat there mumbling and having a deep conversation with somebody. She was having a huge conversation in the last few minutes before, well, it's probably the last hour before she disappeared, mortal coil. And all of a sudden she just, you know, leant up and said, pull me up. He yelled it out, pull me up. And she just died on the spot. So she saw something, was in deep animated conversation. There is definitely somewhere to go after this. Atheists aren't going nowhere. I'm sorry. Unless you've been doing really nice things for people. If you're sitting there vocally running down everything, you're going to get reincarnated as a slug at best. At best. That's my view. You know, if you're going to doom people to, you know, this is all you've got, do the best thing you can and you're going to die and you're going to be tree food, like a couple of well-known, Bryce Courtney, very disappointing. Bryce Courtney seemed like a really nice guy, but he made sure that everyone knew that there was no afterlife and that his son, Damon, I think it was Damon, died of, he had that thing the royals have where you're a bleeder, whatever that's called. The royal family suffer from it. He wrote a book called The Potato Factory, I think it was, or it was a very sad book about his son. Got a blood transfusion, probably full of toxins from a victim of one of the Fauci injections. And he died of what they called the AIDS back then. And in the book he said, he described to his son that, you know, he was going to bury him with it and put a tree on top of him, and that tree was going to reach out to this to space, and then the tree would die and then form another tree. And at no stage was there any afterlife mentioned. You know, that you need to give, you know, even whatever, I mean, to not give anyone hope of a second chance and a beautiful place to go over the rainbow. This is absolutely the most nasty thing you can do to somebody, is not give them any hope when they're dying. And these atheists out there will get put into their slug bodies, and they probably will try and evolve into being a human again, a spiritual human being, because God help them, you know. I mean, this negative thing that these vocal atheists seem to love doing is saying there's nothing happening, when you're going to die, do what you want, do what thou wilt. Very Crowley-ish, very Crowley-ish. And just disgusting as far as I'm concerned. It's like telling a child that there's nothing when they die and you're not going to see any cats or pet lobsters or fish or whatever they are. To me, that's one of the worst sins on the planet, is giving no one hope of a better life in the next world, in the next realm. And last night I talked about this. I'll bring it up again in case anyone that's on the Hoax Syndicate, the Hoax Syndicate didn't hear. I'm talking about the deliberate introduction of multi-dimensions and dimensional second dimensions, basically giving you a heaven version of the afterlife. But no, they won't call it that. They call it the multiverse, like the Marvel comics, or a vortex into, you know, another dimension. And I keep saying that the latest biggest movie on the planet at the moment that's winning the Oscar, not the biggest movie, but it's one of the best movies, Everything All at Once Everywhere, the Asian or Chinese movie about, you know, multiverse. They want that into your head. They want that into your head. So it's giving some kind of hope to people, but there's no Christianity involved in it. And there's no... it's just you're going to go into these multiverses regardless of what you've done, be it good or bad. And I do believe, and it's interesting, that a lot of people that I've seen over the years that are quite, they're not atheists, but they just don't believe in religion. They had it drummed out of them by probably the Catholic education system back in the old days, or nasty teachers. Yet some people are really nice people. They don't need to believe in or be preaching mentioning Jesus or anything like that, but they lead that same life of generosity. And I know a guy who does this stuff all the time. He feeds the poor, he gives his money to charity. At no stage does he understand or believe in the Bible, yet I believe he will be saved or go to a good place because he's just being a good human. That's a thing, I do believe. You just need to be a good human and understand that. I do believe in some kind of karmic wheel, that if you've done the wrong thing, you're going to get paid back. Changing the subject. So I don't know if Marcus Allen's listening to this, but, you know, he was wanting some kind of more, what would you call it, paper trail leading to the, we're talking about Aspartame story a couple of weeks or three weeks ago. Aspartame, I said it's chemical warfare. That's what I said. He needed to know citations, and where did I get? And I got it out of the book, Psychic Dictatorship USA. Fantastic book, but wasn't quite legal enough for him to put it on his Twitter. But the other day I heard someone doing a show and doing a big deep dive into Frank Zappa's father. And I think there's the smoking gun that you need to look into. He was working at not Fort Detrick, at another, it was a chemical warfare lab. There was all sorts of inquiries went on to it. They were researching from the 1950s through the 60s for chemical warfare, which I would suggest is aspartame, one of the number ones, guaranteed, to lobotomize you and get you ready for the dumbing down of the public. So Johnny Vedmore, I believe, was the guy that was doing it. I'll see if I can find the link, but I think Marcus Allen should look into Frank Zappa's father, the in charge of chemical warfare in the American Army. You're looking at the listening to the Hoax Syndicate on Monday, the 6th of March, 2023. I didn't mention the date till when, but it's the right one. Yeah, March the 6th, 2023. So we're going through the Ides of March at the moment. It's a thing. It's a thing. So get ready for more and more psychological operations. If you listen to the first, I think the first 2 hours of what I did with Ab last night, it's very good. I did drop a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff, be told. But particularly the most interesting to me was the Betty Ford Aquino story. Betty Ford Aquino, Michael Aquino's mother, and her blatant links with the Pacifica Radio Network. This ties in with Joe Atwell and Yarden stuff and Hans Utter's stuff that they did on the radio networks run by the Navy. This 100% ties in with it, 100%. So Pacifica Radio and Michael Aquino's mother, 100% interesting story. For those who want to do some serious research, I don't know if you can do it online, give it a go. Give it a go, see if you can find more out. What's his name? Stephen, can't remember his surname, but very good researchers on Ed Opman's site. He did a really deep dive into Michael Aquino's mother, and this is the best thing to do. Is like if you find someone suspicious, you think of look up their parents, find it like the Gates family. My God, they've been the eugenicists, including Eugene Gates back in 1770 something or other. Eugene Gates, it's very eugenics to me. Really interesting. These guys that are like Vedmore and what's his name? Stephen. I'll have to find it. Stephen, beginning with this. It's on the latest or Ed Opman report on. It's just look up Betty Ford Aquino, Michael Aquino's mother. What an interesting person. And same with Michael Aquino. I've talked about it last night. I'm not going to repeat myself twice, but I do. And do I care? No. Amazing full moon, or very close to full moon at the moment. It's about 1 degree off being full. And what a magnificent thing it is, whatever it is. I have bats flying about. I have cats, black cats sitting in front of me, guarding me from little bats, the baby bats. It's just wonderful. I like the moon. So changing this, all right, change the subject. Sticking with Frank Zappa, I mean, he was obviously a good bloke, I would say. Good bloke, I would say, but a manager, a stage manager. And he helped the Monkees get to where they did. So he produced and was very influential on Head, their movie that made no money because they just went anti-Vietnam and all over the place, but some great music in that movie. Don't think it's going to make any sense to you. Maybe there's some interesting stuff, and I haven't rewatched it with that open mind that I have now. But Head's a great movie soundtrack, and Frank Zappa appears in it, I think. He actually toured and was very close with them, so he was their kind of stage manager, I think, the Monkees, which were the Prefab Four, just like the Beatles were the Prefab Four. Prefabricated, but I got to say this: the Monkees was one of the greatest kids shows back in the day. It was so entertaining, very funny, great writers, great the people that did the music. You know, the session musicians from hell. You know, that played all the music for them. Neil and the best songwriters wrote all their tunes, guaranteed. But yeah, Frank Zappa was very much behind them or very close to them. And Jimi Hendrix was their support act of all people. I mean, can you imagine a more different person than the monkeys, a prefabricated kids, rich little kids of rich people, basically, particularly Mike Nesmith. TV, you know, a band formulated for TV and, you know, to sell huge amount of albums. The Beatles were the same thing. People just don't like to own up to that. But sadly for you, that the Beatles were a prefab four, not the fab four, a prefab four, prefabricated. Yeah, interesting that Frank Zappa's father was in, you know, very high up with chemical warfare and the inquiries that went on with that particularly. So I can't remember, because it was very late at night, I was listening to this particular show, but the weapons or the, you know, not Fort Detrick, whatever he was trained and where he was operating and doing the experiments, is a smoking gun, I would say, for Marcus Allen to look into, if you can, with regarding the Aspartame scam and other ones, of course, and other ones. How many other chemicals have we had added to our food that are destroying us? And the plastics, you know, and the stuff and your receipts you get out of when you go to a fast food or a supermarket. There's chemicals on the receipts, apparently, that are really dangerous. Really dangerous. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. I don't think so. So, yeah, now that, changing the subject again, though, going back to a band that I always thought should have been way bigger and were hard done by. So not every talented person made the money that they should have made. And that band is Spirit. And the guy that I think should be way more famous and well-known is Randy California. Obviously not his real name. It's probably Randy Goldman or something like that. But just a really genuine guy. And he was fiddling around with a guitar one day in a guitar shop in probably L.A., and the guy next to him was saying, you know, it's pretty good, it's pretty cool, and fiddled, and it was Jimi Hendrix, you know, buying a new guitar. And he said, look, they got on well. And he said to him, look, you know, man, you're not whatever they, you know, say Randy Liebenhaus, one of those. He said, no, you're Randy California. Gave him his name. And he said, look, we're going to be rehearsing soon, and I'm heading to America, to England. He goes, I need someone to play rhythm, and they came and jammed with him, and because he's a fantastic guitarist, but he was only like 17 or something or other. But his mother, no, you can't go over there. You can't go over there. They're very dangerous over there. She wouldn't let him go, so he missed out. He did play with the Blue Flames, though, so he was one of the guitarists in the Jimmy James and the Blue Flame, but his mother would not allow him to go. And that was Jimi Hendrix. Went to England with Chas Chandler, the manager of the Animals, and they became huge, as you know, huge band. And yes, he can play, and no, it's not fucking, and if it is that actor, why hasn't he played a note? You know, you couldn't, with that talent, left-handed, strung guitar, strats, strung upside down, so out there. I mean, there's no one has played that music before and since, guaranteed. Guaranteed. And this, you know, he's, you know, he changes career and become a actor, lightweight actor. Well, not a lightweight actor, a good actor, but no, sorry, don't believe that. Not believing that whatsoever. He's there or he's a she. No. Particularly she's a he. That's what I was arguing last night. I'm telling you, you can spot a fucking she's a he a mile off. They don't look anything like a bloke. They can't grow beards like men. You look at Chastity Bono. I keep bringing that name up. Check her out. That's a she that's a he, a high-level one. It doesn't look like a bloke. It doesn't look like a bloke. Anyway, Spirit ended up becoming... So his mother's boyfriend was about 50, and he ended up becoming the drummer, and they did incredible albums. They did this amazing song called... Taurus, an instrumental. That's recently been in courts to this day, because guess what? It was the song that Led Zeppelin clearly lifted for their intro to Stairway to Heaven. This is a Taurus by Spirit. Guaranteed. They went and toured England when he was old enough. After you can leave home now, you know, possessive mother. And they supported the Yardbirds. The Yardbirds supported them. The new Yardbirds. That was Jimmy Page was in that band. Or maybe they supported the Yardbirds. Whatever. Either way, he said that he saw Page sitting in the audience watching him playing Spirit. A Taurus. What am I going? And he was happy that they used that for Stairway to Heaven. He never tried at any stage to get money out of the thing, because a good musician, probably everyone kind of takes, like Ritchie Blackmore took the intro to Black Knight from a Ricky Nelson song. Guaranteed. He admits to it. Stolen. His intro to Smoke on the Water. Backwards. Stole it off other people. So musicians do lift, and sometimes they give credit, other times they don't. But Led Zeppelin give no credit to no one, because they knew legalities and royalties were coming up. So they were very nasty, Led Zeppelin. No time for them anymore. These guys absolutely, ripped off a lot of struggling old artists, especially the old Negro blues artists like Howling Wolf and stuff. Probably gave their families enough money to buy a house and then refused to acknowledge that they pinched all their music. Terrible. I mean, reincarnated as slugs, I'm sorry. To steal someone's song and then give them no credit, no time for these people. I have no time for these people. And moving on a little bit, again, this is, be told on the Hoax Syndicate, where I'm going to be talking more entertainment and more, but it still kind of ties into fakeology in some ways. A very interesting story. But one of the most interesting stories, apart from Spirit. So anyway, Randy California died about 5 years ago or 6 years ago, 7 years ago, whatever it was. The bass player, who was a nobody from nowhere, decided to try and sue Led Zeppelin for royalties for the use of Stairway to Heaven, and they failed. But Randy California, the guy that actually wrote the song, he didn't want to do that. So there's a bit of karma there. He was happy for them to have the intro. No problem. Another band that was meant to be the Sex Pistols. They were an anarchist band out of Ladbroke Grove, and Martha, he knows what I'm talking about here. Ladbroke Grove was a kind of inner city part of, where students probably, it was very, an area that was going to be gentrified, but they'd let students run right there and probably near the unis and stuff like that. I'm not sure. I've never been to Ladbroke Grove. I wish I did when I was over there. I don't know why I didn't go there. I did go to some interesting spots, but Ladbroke Grove is very out there. And Hawkwind, the bass there, loads of anarchist rock. So there's a vibe there. There's some kind of vibe in Ladbroke Grove for the, these future makers and the Tavistock group. And Pink Fairies were supposed to revolutionize rock and to cause a revolution and, whatever. But they were kind of 3 years out, basically, because the Sex Pistols, who were fans of the Pink Fairies, because the Pink Fairies were completely anarchist. Guess what their main influence was, though? And who? Crowley. Their biggest song was Do It, which is, Do What Thou Wilt, covered by American guy who I've got not much time for, from Black Flag, Henry Rollins. He did not a bad version, I have to say, but Yeah, Ladbroke Grove, very interesting. The whole scene there is interesting. The whole vibe there, you know. And I love Hawkwind. Again, Hawkwind, no, too much shit. I mean, all their out 7x7, everything about them was esoteric, real space rock, but deep meanings in their music, which I love. I love. You're listening to Hoax Syndicate, the 15 minutes. We're getting close to the hour, which I'll be canning it at an hour. Thanks to, for no reason. I thought, you know, 1 hour of interesting conversation. But yeah, Ladbroke Grove, the Tavistock organization, the Situationist movement, all these things that shaped Britain and brought it down. And of course, just at the right time, they brought in Margaret Thatcher to really destroy the situation. And that's what she did. That's what she did. The Iron Maiden, whatever they called her, not the band. And Iron Maiden, forget about the latest incarnation with that vax pushing spastic ex, you know, the pilot of Iron Maiden. Fantastic. Fantastic. Women in Uniform, all the original songs, much different than the vax pushing thing. And I've been listening to more and more people talking about this whole where were your heroes when the vaccine mandates and when the lockdowns were on? They were gone. They never said anything. None of these amazing bands stood up and said anything apart from a few odd people. You know, Van Morrison. I mean, yeah, what a great, he's a hero, really. I mean, but he's an age where he's probably going to die soon from, you know, just old age. But at least he was brave enough to stand up. But these other people weren't brave enough. And they will pay for this. I'm telling you, if you had the opportunity to save people from getting chemical shit and, you know, injected into your veins, someone in my family, that my own son who had to take one for work, I said, don't do it. He did it. He was coughing and spluttering for probably a year afterwards. And I do believe that was the same shot that they cancelled a lot of old people in Italy with the old folks' homes, the flu shot. And can I just say this? It's a fucking fact. The big list of everyone that took the vaccine, the flu shot, that, you know, they made sure they had the booster and the flu shot the same week. So these people, if you are old and sick, God help you. God help you. That's all I can say. The moon is just fantastic. I have to say that again. Absolutely fantastic. That's probably about getting towards, I mean, the situation is Sex Pistols, 100%. Tavistock, 100%. A manufactured boy band. That's an insult, but it's probably true. Probably true. John Lydon, definitely a talent. What would you call it? A rogue player in the scam. I think he managed to go off track and do stuff and say stuff that he should never have been allowed to get away with. He's put it this way, John Lennon never did any of that. He kept very quiet to himself. You know, he might have said some stuff privately, but he didn't go vocal like Lydon did with some of the things he said over the past, particularly Jimmy Savile. So, you know, he said, if I had any power, I'd have Jimmy Savile killed because I think he's up to something, because I've heard the rumours. I've heard the rumours. He said that in 77. Very brave, because clearly Savile was he was Crowleyite, probably more higher powered than the average guy, and he was definitely up to no good. Definitely up to no good, in my mind, as a conspiracy theorist. Someone on that Fakeologist years ago said, what evidence do you have? Just look at the guy, and he's always hanging around kids continuously. Jimmy will fix it. You know, Jimmy will fix it. And just the way he waves his cigar and holds his, you know, he actually wears a pentagram around his neck. silver pentagram. If you watch, I think it's Alvin Stardust's song Red Dress, the original live version of Top of the Pops, you get to see Savile in his full regalia, waving a cigar and pointing, using the cigar as a wand, guaranteed. So, yeah, so that'll be it probably for Rick Betold. Rick Betold is watching some strange creature crawling past me. Is it a funnel web spider? It could be. I've had one crawl past my leg. I'm just going to... I know it's hopping, so it's probably a cricket. My cat's after it as well. Wonderful. Beautiful moon, beautiful stars. Listen to what I was talking about. Look, do some research looking at Frank Zappa's father. And that was Michael Aquino's mother, looking to Aquino's mother's mother. You can do this still, I do believe, on Wikipedia. Well, you can. And if not, going to waybackarchive.org, do your own research. Try and get offline, though, and try and do it. Find some books, find some old magazines, find some old, what's his name, and which are all, be told, the Dope Inc. Book, the intelligence, executive intelligence review, LaRouche, Lyndon LaRouche, jailed for tax evasion. There's a clue for you. That's a good sign. They can't get you with what you're saying, they'll get you on tax evasion. So, yeah, fantastic to chat. And thanks to Bellicet and his wonderful syndicate, Hoax Syndicate. At some stage, I shall pause and we'll chat again. So be told, I'll be back.